Would you turn your Bible, please, to Luke chapter 22? Stand when you find your place. We're going to read in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 down through verse 34. Then you can be seated and we'll pray. The Bible said in Luke 22, 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Amen. Brother, when God calls your name twice, He means business. Behold, Satan. That's our arch enemy right there. Peter had a problem with him. I have a problem with him. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. When you're sifted, brother, I'll tell you what brings you down to nothing. But I have prayed for thee, that thou, thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You can be seated. Father, we come into your holy presence. Lord, our hearts are heavy. Lord, we're glad this morning that we've got the good tidings of great joy to bring before a congregation of people. Thank you that we can open the Word of God and declare its divine truths to every man, woman, boy, and girl on this side of the grave. Thank you, Father, that we have the divine privilege of being able to open our voice and our lips and our mouth and proclaim the divine truths that come from God above. Give us wisdom and understanding. Give us, Lord, the gift of preaching and teaching. God, may the Spirit of the living God deal with every heart and soul in this building. Lord, may there be a holy hush come upon our hearts. May there be a fear of God that, Lord, might grip our heart. And, Father, may we search our soul and take inventory of our heart. And before we leave this building, Father, may we make things right with You if they're wrong. And I pray, Father, that we'll give You the praise and the glory in the midst of what You're doing for us. Lord, take us into Your divine account and will speak through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus one day. And he's on the road to Damascus. He is breathing out threatenings against the church and hauling men and women into the prison. And he'd already stood by and stoned, or not him, but he stood by while the others stoned a man by the name of Stephen. Stephen was calling upon the Lord and looking around at the people, saying, lay not this sin to their charge. The Bible said that old Paul, and I believe this with all my heart, or Saul at that time got saved, went down, and he's down on Straight Street where people go, you know, when you get saved. And he got down on Straight Street and God sent Ananias over there. And he came over to him and he laid hands on him, and the Bible said that the scales fell from his eyes. I pray this morning that God might lift the scales from your eyes that you can see today like you've never seen before. I read in the place of the Word of God on the day of Pentecost, and when the Lord, His people began to preach and Peter stood there, he preached with such power and demonstration of the Spirit of God that the Bible said they were pricked in their heart. I pray this morning God will prick your heart. I read in the Word of God where that God said He would enlighten our eyes. And unless God sends that heavenly light from above this morning to enlighten you, you'll not understand this morning what you need to hear. I read in the Word of God where that God opened their understanding. I thank God that one day He opened my understanding and I understood that I was a sinner on my way to hell. I was lost and undone, and thank God He saved me by His marvelous grace because of it. I read a few more times in the Word of God, and I found out that God had touched hearts. The Bible said in the book of Ezekiel that He'd take that old stony heart out of us and put a heart of flesh. And I'm glad that God can do that, and I pray that He will for you this morning. I was reading in the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said that He was like the potter, talking about Christ the Lord, and the clay. We're just the clay. He's the potter. And the Lord puts the potter, takes the clay and puts it on the potter's wheel, and He molds it and makes it. And I got to thinking about that. Amen. God can take us and make us what He wants us to be, and I pray this morning He'd do that to you. You know what clay is anyhow? Amen. It's just a burnt, amen, mud. Amen. That's about all you are. You said, preacher, you don't think highly of flesh. No, I don't. Amen. There's nothing. We're nothing. But He can take nothing and make something out of it this morning. Amen. I read a little story. I think I read it, or maybe I heard it. I don't know which one I did, but I listened or heard or read a story about Procter & Gamble some time back. Procter & Gamble had put out a new product. You ladies probably use it. It was called Febreze. And they went into a lot of detail, said that they made that Febreze, but it was so good that they didn't do too much planning on it. They just all of a sudden stuck it on the shelf. Now, Febreze is something you take that don't cover over smell. It don't cover over odors. It eliminates odors, takes them away. You got that? Isn't that what it does, ladies? Takes away that odor. It eliminates them. It don't just cover it up. Amen. You know how it is. Sometimes you ladies can smoke 3 cigarettes and put 2 bottles of perfume on it, and that's a sickening smell. Amen. The cigarettes smell like perfume, and the perfume smell like cigarette. Isn't that something? Amen. You got me? Well, they said Procter & Gamble put that product out, and said nobody bought it. It just stayed on the shelf. A few went here, a few went there, but they couldn't get it done. So they decided they'd get together and find out. They pulled it off the shelf a while, stayed off the shelf, and they began to start finding out what happened. So then they said, what we need is some advertising. Spent millions. I read this. Spent millions on trying to get it out there. And said they went to a lady's house, and they said they drove up to the door, and they said they told them, said that lady has 15 cats in the house. This is a story now. Pulled down there and knocked on the door and said, them folks with them cameras come up there, and said when the door opened, said the smell was so bad that some of them just started heaving and vomiting right there in the outside. 15 old cats in there. But said they went in. Some of them went in and said it was so terrible, smelled bad. And they said, ma'am, we got this. We want to show you what this product will do. And she said, why y'all come here like you think this place smells bad? I know every once in a while you can get a whiff of something. But said, hey, I don't smell a thing. And said they went back down there and tried to figure out what. Said, why could she not smell? Said she had got used to it. Now, why are you using that, preacher? This way. I was down at the barber shop some time ago. The man's dead. Getting my hair cut. And they had an old air conditioner stuck in the window right above his head. And that thing was so loud. I was sitting there in that chair. And they'd cut off my hair. And then everybody in there, when they was talking, hey, how you doing today? You had to talk like you're deaf and you couldn't hear. And so we listened. And the old barber, he'd tell it. He is real loud. Amen. You know what? He's trying to get over the fan. So somebody said to him, he said, we can't hear for that fan. He said, what fan? He hadn't paid no, he got used to it. Now I want to tell you something. We've got people in our churches today. They've heard the gospel message. They've heard the gospel truth. Amen. They're lost and undone and on their way to hell. Brother, they've heard the gospel message that they got so gospel hardened. And brother, got the place that they don't even hear anymore. And no doubt in this building there's some that are going to die and go to hell simply because you've got to the place that you don't even hear anymore. Hear me. I got to thinking about this, and this is something that bothers me. Men fail to think about two things in particular. They think about a lot of things, but the two things that they fail to think on much. One of them is death, and the other is judgment. We don't go around talking about dying. The older you get and the more health problems you have, and you get right with God, and of course people that's right with God don't have to worry about dying. They think it's a relief. Amen. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the course. I've kept the faith. And he said, hey, henceforth, there's a departure. And he's talking about it. And he is glad for it. Amen. But as a general rule, we don't think about death and we don't think about dying. And I thought about some people in my life down through the years. And I preached funerals of some people that I knew were ready to meet God. I preached funerals of people who had a living testimony behind them. They had left it. I didn't have to be coaxed. I preached somebody's funeral not too long ago, and they came up to me and they said, sir, brother, I want to tell you what they did in their life. That's about all I knew about that individual. Never seen anything in their life in all the years I'd known them. But then they tried to get things right at the end, they said, and here's what they tried to think about. Amen. And give me some things to think on. But there's been some people I've walked in the pulpit of at their funeral. Brother, I knew that they'd lived for God. They left a testimony that they loved God. I'd heard them teach Sunday school. I'd heard them live for God. I watched them live for God. I watched them raise their families at the house of God. I watched them read their Bibles. And I didn't have to wonder where they were. They left a testimony behind. And then I've had some that I preached funerals of, and while I was preaching their funeral, I didn't know where they were. Good possibility they were in hell. And there's a possibility they were in heaven. And running through my mind were questions, and I don't know how to preach funerals anyhow. I just preach to the people that's there. I can't preach to the dead. I preach to the living. And so, you don't know how to go. You can't preach. I've heard some of the sorriest folks that ever lived their life, and the preacher preach them into heaven when they die. Amen. If you want me to preach you into heaven, amen, and I can't do that anyhow. But if you want me to say good words about you, you better make sure you got a good life to live behind, because I'm not going to lie about you. Amen. If I don't know about you, I ain't going to preach about you. Amen. I'll preach to your family. And then there's some folks that I stood in the pulpit of at funeral time, and while their body was laid in front of me, their soul had already made a departure. They were either in heaven or hell. But there's some of them, as I stood before, I knew, unless things had changed in the last 24 hours of their life, they were in hell, no doubt, without God. I know some people, and I can think of some today. I remember a fella, and I'm not going to call their names, I could, but I remember a fella that I'd go to see, and you've heard me mention him before. I'd go to see him, and he'd change his mind about everything, and he'd talk about everything under the sun. I was the only preacher in the community that he'd even let come to his house and talk to him. And I'd talk to him about Jesus, and I'd tell him about the Lord. And every time I'd talk to him about Jesus, he'd change the subject. He'd change the subject. Talk about something else and try to get my mind on something else. And he'd change it. And I'd go see him all the time. I'd go to see him all, and he'd take time with me every time when he liked me. And we'd sit down and talk together, and I'd ask him the same question every time. I'd say, are you born again? Do you know that you know? And I'd ask him that, and he'd say, no, I'm not saved. And I'd say, don't you want to be saved? And he said, one of these days. And he'd change the subject on me. I said, do you not know that Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary? He said, yeah, preacher, I know that. I believe that. I said, do you not want the Lord Jesus Christ to dwell in you and save you? He said, I got a lot of living to do down the road, preacher. Yes, I want to get saved. And I'd go back and see him again, and I said, have you changed your mind? He's a lot older than I was. He said, no, I ain't changed my mind. I still got a lot of living. He said, just keep praying for me. Keep praying for me. And one day they called on the telephone and said he had went fishing. He was an expert fisherman and an expert swimmer. And somehow he had stood up in the boat, and he fell out of the boat. I guess he hit his head or something, and he drowned. And I preached his funeral standing before him. I want you to know, knowing that he went to hell. Brother, God gripped my heart, and I said, I tried, Lord, I talked to him. I sat at the table and eat with him. His wife had fixed his good meals, and I'd sat down and eat with him. And we had some good fellowship. But he died lost without God because he didn't want to get right with God. He had some living to do. His son come along, and became one of my good friends at the same time. And he's one of them so-called church folks, and he got in, started going to church pretty good, and I left the area. But I come back later. When I come back later, he had gotten a little older and got some kind of kidney disease, and they diagnosed him not to live too long. And he had been a rough rider all down through the years. I'll tell you, following his daddy's footsteps. But for some reason, when he found out he had this terminal illness, he started going to church. I've met people like that before, haven't you? Got himself some religion, so to speak, come to church. And he'd call me up and said, "Preacher, come over and talk to me." I'd go over and talk to him. I'd sit on the couch beside him and I'd talk to him. And I'd ask him, I said, "Don't you want to make sure everything's right?" He said, "Preacher, I think everything is." I said, "You know, you need to know that everything's all right. You need to know that everything's fine. I would not this morning go out of this building if I did not know." Amen. Somebody said, "Why?" Because, hey, they may be scooping your remains or your body off the pavement down the road here. You face too much today. A lady come up to my table this week, and she said, "Preacher, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Yes, sir." She said, "I want to ask you a question. Do you believe in deathbed repentance?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I believe you can get saved at the last minute somehow." But I said, "That's a big gamble. You may not have time to have deathbed repentance. Some old semi-truck may hit you head on. And brother, scatter your remains out over the pavement. And they have to mop the blood up off the street or let the birds lick it up. I'm telling you this morning, brother, death has stared you. And it's too much to risk. It's too much of a gamble to go on down the road without giving your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Now I'd go see him and he'd say, "Preacher, pray for me." And I said, "What do you want me to do? Pray for your sickness?" "Yeah, I want you to pray I get well. I want you to pray God heal me. I want you to pray God take this stuff from me." And I said, "Listen, how's your soul?" He said, "I think things are all right." I said, "I want to ask you one more time. Do you know?" He said, "I think things are all right." And that's his conversation. And he died in that condition. And I do not know whether he went to heaven or hell. He died like that. I met another fellow, one of the other areas I was pastoring at. And I'd go by and see him. He was a Methodist. Nothing wrong being a Methodist. Amen. Got problems with water. I'm scared of water. Amen. I preached some revival, not a revival, but a funeral with a Methodist one day, and somebody's family they were Methodists, and so they got there's some of the family of Baptists, and they got us in there, and the mortician said, "Y'all got a problem with this?" I looked over at him, and I said, "No, he just can't get straightened out on his water problem." Amen. He wants to sprinkle instead of baptize. Amen. And so the old Methodist preacher looked over and he said, "No," I said, "I don't have a problem with Baptists. They just eat too much chicken." And we had a funeral. But he lived in the Methodist area. On one side of the river was the Methodist church, and on the other side of the river was the Baptist church, and I pastored a mill village. And this man developed cancer, and he got real sick. And I'd go by and see him about once a week. I was full-time, went over there. I'd go by and see him. I'd sit down and I'd say to him, I'll tell you, "Is it Mr. Rogers? If you died today, Mr. Rogers, would you go to heaven?" He said, "I'd like to think so." He said, "Maybe I would." Been in the Methodist church all his life. And I said, "Mr. Rogers, are you born again? Do you know that you've been born again? Can you take me back to a time when you got saved?" And he said, "I'd like to think so. I'd like to think so." And I kept going by week after week. He lived about a year from the time that they told him he had cancer. And I went back to see him and get close, and he was getting feeble. And I say, "Mr. Rogers, are you saved? Do you know that you're going to see the Lord?" And he said, "I'd like to think so." That was his theme all the way through his life. And I sit in that church that day when that preacher was preaching his funeral. Tears come down my face. And I'm saying to myself, Mr. Rogers, I loved you. I talked to you. I took time for you. And I sure hope that one of these days I'll see you in heaven. But it's going to take more than hope and soul and liking to think so. And I don't know where he went to heaven or hell. I had another fella up here in Turnerville. Nobody seemed to care for him, but he's a lost man. I went by to see him. And I tried to talk to him, and he'd been going to one of the churches there in the area for a long time. But he wasn't saved. And I'd try to witness to him, and I'd ask him about his soul. I'd ask him about his soul about every time I come in contact. I don't do that to everybody. Amen. You don't either. But this particular man, somebody said he's lost. And I went up there to see him. And he lived there in a little house, a nice little place. And I'd sit down and talk to him and his wife. My wife would go with me. And his wife, she'd say, I'm born again. I know I'm saved. But he died. And I preached his funeral, knowing that he's probably in hell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's some in here probably about the same way. You may be that way this morning. You know, there's a person called Satan. Let's go to my text this morning. The Bible said in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. God is saying to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's saying, Simon, Simon, the Satan is around here. And Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Now we've got an enemy, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stop and think about this. You know there's people in hell this morning and they're there because of one thing. If you want to sum it up in one word, nothing in the world but pride. You'll read the Word of God, and I'm not going to get into it today because the time won't let me, but I'll say this. Satan was an arch enemy in heaven. Or not an arch, archangel in heaven. Amen. He was there at one time. Read the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah. He said, I will ascend. And you look at his eyes. Pride got a hold of him. And pride caused him to rise up against God. And pride caused God to have to cast him out of heaven to this earth. Got me? Brother, I'll tell you what. Ever since he's been trying to get us to that same place. And God says through Luke's gospel, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you. Write these three names down. I want to give you three names of the devil. Are three names of this enemy. Number one, we done told one of them, Satan. Right below that, put the word devil down under it. And below that, put the word Lucifer down under it. That's his three names. He is an antichrist. Anything that God is for and Christ is for, he's against. Jesus has three names. He's called Lord, He's called Jesus, and He's called Christ. Lord means He is the Master. Jesus, that's His earthly name, and that word means Savior. Christ is His heavenly name, and that means the Anointed One, Christos. You got that? But the devil, let's look at him just for a minute. Don't like to look at him much at all. But I must tell you these things. Pride caused him to fall. And he's in the business to try to make you fall. The word devil, right out from the one that I gave you a while ago, devil, right out from it to the right side of it, write this down and put it down. In the days of Christ, and I want you to keep this in mind, there were three major languages. There was what we call Latin. There's what we call Greek, and there's what we call Hebrew. Now keep that in mind. We'll show you that in just a minute. The word devil, that is the Greek word. Right out from devil, put Greek word. It's Greek. And that word devil means adversary. It means slanderer. It means ones that the accuse. I mean, what he does, he slanders. The devil's in the business to slander you. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:8, amen, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the what? Devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That is the Greek word. Out from Satan, put Hebrew. Satan is the Hebrew word for the devil. Amen. And here we are, we're going back for the devil, Satan, whatever. And that word, Satan, means he's the tempter. He's the accuser. He's the master deceiver. In Job chapter 1, he said, there was a time when the sons of God stood before God, sons of God stood before God, and the devil was with them, or Satan was with them. Got that? So he's the accuser. He's always amen. You remember what he said? God said to him, he said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, yeah. Amen. I always wondered, reckon the devil's ever said, the Lord said, have you ever considered my servant Dennis? I think he probably did, but I don't think it took much time. I don't know what the answer was. You understand? I'm no Job. But I'll think about this for a minute. And then there's one more called Lucifer. Out from Lucifer, put this word. It's a Latin word. And that Latin word means light bearer, or the bringer of light. And then I want you to turn your Bible, since you're in Luke, back to chapter number 10. In Luke chapter number 10, the Bible said in verse number 18. I like to hear the sound of them pages rattling. Oh, little, don't that sound good? That's heavenly music. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's a light bearer, Lucifer. All right? Praise God. Now, jot this down. Latin is the language of the Roman Empire. In your notes, Latin is the language of the Roman Empire. That was in play in Rome's day. That was in play when Christ was on the earth. Greek is the language of commerce. That's the natural language of the commerce part in that day. And Hebrew is the language of the ancient people, the Jewish people. I want to show you something. Would you turn your Bible to Luke chapter 23? We was in chapter 22 a while ago. We went back to earlier portion, but let's go to chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23, and would you go with me, please, to verse 38. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 38, it said, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. That's the common language of the day. Satan is trying himself to be the master deceiver. And we've got people in this world that believe that Satan is God. He's not. We've got many people that are sold their lives out to him. He's the master deceiver. Turn to John chapter 19. If you go home and look this up, you'll find the word Latin is only mentioned two times in the Scriptures, and I'm giving them both to you this morning. In John chapter 19 and verse number 20. Verse number 19, we'll look at 19 and 20. The Bible said, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews. For the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Now that was the common language of the world at the time of Christ. And it's put on the cross. This is the King of the Jews worldwide. God said, I've sent my Son to die for the whole world. You with me this morning? Now the devil is in the business of trying to do what he can. Devil, the Satan, the Lucifer. He tries to deceive people and cause people to go to hell. What's the major thing that he's doing today to keep people from Christ? Putting it off. If he can get you to delay. That lady asked me, she said, you believe in deathbed repentance? I said, the only problem I have a problem with that, yes, people can get saved, but by the time they get to deathbed, if they're old in age, their hearts have grown so hardened, brother, they got the place that they're cold and they do not want to be saved anymore. And they've rejected Christ so much that their heart has gotten so hardened and calloused that many of them even tried, probably couldn't get in. You hear me now? All right. Look at what God says. There's two things that my job is. One's try to get you saved. And the second is try to get you to serve God with all your heart to know that you're saved. My job is to first of all try to get you to Christ. And the next thing is to try to make you know that you've been to Christ. Somebody said, preacher, I'm just not sure I've ever been born again. Let me just give you some little test. How many of you believe that you've been born in the flesh? Now, y'all, some of you didn't raise your hand. I don't know what about you. Do you know that you've been born one time in this world? Is it because you've got a birth certificate, or is it because you've got the scientific proof in front of you? Or have you looking over and said, I don't know where I'm here or not. I don't know where I'm real or not. I don't know where I've even been born first time yet or not. You say, what you getting at? This? I believe you ever got birthed in the family of God and God moved in, kicked the devil out and changed your life, you'll never ask again, have I been to Calvary? I'm just as sure this morning I've been born twice as I'm as sure I was the first time. Now there was a few times I let the devil hoodwink me, make me think so, and old devil crawl up on my shoulder and say, you ain't saved. But he never did crawl up on my case and tell me you're lost and on your way to hell and you need to get saved. He just put doubt in there. That's what the devil does. In a court of law, all you got to do is do it without a reasonable doubt. Amen? Brother, I'll tell you right now, I was around the place the other day and I heard this woman. She's in the place and I don't even know her, never seen her before in my life. But this is what she said. She said, oh, Mary, Mother of God. Something bothered her. She said, oh, Mary, Mother of God. And when I hear that, I draw up. Somebody said, why do you draw up? Let me tell you something. First of all, Mary is not the Mother of God. Amen. Now some of y'all look at me like, I don't know where you're going and I don't know what you're doing. If Mary was the mother of God, that means that Mary was here before God was. I saw this not too, and they had Mary on the cross and they were praying to Mary. Something's happened. Brother, religion, the devil has deceived these people and they believe in that and they hold it up and they're praying to Mary. Now, Mary is the mother of the Son of God, amen, not God. She is a mother of the human side of God, not the divine side. You can't get them to see that, but I'm telling you, the devil does all these things and gets people to understand. Hey, he'll say to you, you know what? You've seen the church? That church is full of hypocrites. I was knocking on the door and the fella said, I invited him to come to church, and he said, I can't go down there. That church is full of hypocrites. And you know what I said? I said, amen. You know what? If you're going to let them hypocrites down at the church hinder you from getting saved, them hypocrites are closer to God than you are because they're between you and God. And that's right. Amen. Said that church is full of sinners. Hallelujah. 100%. Some of them are sinners saved by grace, and some of them are sinners need to be saved by grace. It does bother me this morning. After preaching to you folks down here for years, I pray that when it comes down to the end of the road and I'm standing before your body and I'm looking the congregation face and I'm saying they left a testimony behind, not on a piece of paper, not because the family showed me something they said, but they lived a life in front of the church and the church folks that proved that they had been to Calvary. I trust that I won't have to stand there and scratch my head and wonder when I'm preaching your funeral if you made it to heaven or is there a possibility you went to hell. I want you to know, not because I said it, not because I preached it, not because I've told you, but because of the life we tried to live. By the way, you're preaching your own funeral right now. Everybody's preaching their funeral. You'll leave this world. You're known as you're known, brother, here now. And when you leave, your works will follow you. What you've done for God will be lasting. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. I trust this morning God spoke to you. I would not this morning want to leave this place without knowing that I'm ready to meet God. I challenge you. May God open your mind. May God open your heart. May you this morning surrender to Him. Heads bowed. As a young man, as a young boy, I mean just a young feller, just as I am, being a great song, I'm sitting in the second row right next to the center aisle. On my left would be on your right. And that preacher preached that morning. While he was preaching, he told about the sinner. Described him. And I put myself in that place. Matter of fact, I thought he was talking to me. And I thought I was the only one in the house when it come down to it. And that morning, he birthed me into his family. Because I called on him. I thank God that I did. That I called on him. I'd put it off a few times before. But I'm glad I didn't put it off till I got so cold and indifferent. That God didn't speak to me anymore. There's people. I know a preacher's wife. I don't want to carry and linger the service. But I know a preacher's wife. As far as I know, died and went to hell. He was our pastor for a while. We talked to her. We'd get under some good services and the Holy Ghost was working in the midst of it and conviction would grip the hearts and lives of men and women. And she'd just sit there with her arms folded and not pay any attention. And we asked her one day, "Does it not bother you when the Spirit of God begins to deal and work in the congregation and people and send conviction?" She said, "I never have no conviction. God don't speak to me anymore." Said, "I never feel no tug of God." That's a miserable place to be, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad I didn't put it off. I'm glad I didn't go on down my road. I'm glad I didn't leave it out and then God not speak to me no more. Let's stand. 81.